right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to the first edition of the week of the Daily Digest with Jimmy Diso. Right. I'd like to make a quick referral to what I mentioned on Saturday, that we want to tidy up a little bit this call-in service that we have before we all of us lose focus. And that is to say, for the programs that I do, that is for these programs and for Saturday, because, of course, I can't speak for the station. But for the programs that I do, I'd appreciate if, no matter how familiar we are, if you do call in, you just mention your name and go quickly to what you want to say within 1 minute, so that we don't waste time. I'd also appreciate if you actually do make a contribution, not just to call to say hello, or to, because once you do that, then you're denying somebody who has a contribution. And we're being listened to worldwide. So I just thought that respectfully, I'd ask us to tidy up that bit. I'm also slightly worried at the fact that I usually get the same, but there's nothing I can do about that, but from the same people every day, you know. And when you sit back and you look at the program, sometimes these things can water it down. But there's an exception on Wednesday, which is dear for me, because that is what that program is, a midweek, like I will use the word, the Wednesday's program for us, just to let our hair down. So anything anything decent or, you know, reasonable goes on Wednesdays. So I hope we'll try to keep to that so that we can keep our program alive, and also so that we can achieve the purpose for which it was set up, which is to contribute towards a better Nigeria. Right, so today is Tuesday. Tomorrow we are going to have Dear Bumi. Thursday we'll also have the Daily Digest. Friday there's a new group of young boys. There's one guy particularly who says that I must listen to his music, Shani. I say, okay, come on Friday and we'll see what you are up to. Then on Saturday, Mr. Funsho Duarte, who did a critique of the Lagos State Supplementary Budget, will also be here. And hopefully to be followed by the following Tuesday from a representative of the Lagos State government who will be reacting to what he has said. I think it's important for all parties to take this, that's the Lagos State order, to take it seriously. I expected a more robust response from the Ministry of Information, but I think if you can put it in writing, if you do send a representative, he'll be able to break down all these things. And more worrying is the information that came out, supposedly, that four law firms were paid from government coffers, 50 million naira each, of which one of them is a highly respected, highly and elderly. So we'd like the government to react to that one. If it is false, tell us so. And also, I would advise the four law firms, if by any chance it is not true, the earlier you issue a statement to debunk this, the better it will be for everybody. I have with me Mr. Peter Esele. Now, you know that's going to be good, because Peter Esele is here, especially to talk about the latest embarrassing act of the NLC. Very, very embarrassing. Peter, good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know how, well, I'm going to shoot off straight away. I'm going to know how an LSC president ends up being slapped, beaten. I don't know how it got to that, because it takes two to tango. Do you think anybody who could have beaten up Hassan Sumano? Or the father of us all, the father of Labour, Pamak Modu, you know. Do you think this could have happened?
No.
Let me tell you what I think. I think that the NLC president, Joe Ajaero, who I'm supposed to know because I heard he was in the Vanguard, you know, where I was. I don't know whether we were at the same time. I believe that in this incident, he didn't carry himself too well. Why would you pay so much attention, for starters, on your own home state? that has made it political. You dragged, and then you put the whole country on strike for an affair that happened in a state. You didn't confine it to that state. And I'm just a bit worried, like I said last week, that it's now going to be difficult for the NSC to play the role that would be expected of it in our current state, with the there's no opposition politically, and whether rightly or wrongly, a lot of people believe that there is no hope also in the, I said rightly or wrongly, because the judiciary probably will stick to law, and that's it, and facts and stuff like that. But there are some facts that we see that cannot be proven, but we know. And so who do we run to? We were thinking that the NLC would be a rallying point. I'm not going to go for anything under the NLC if I had my way. I know it's sad. It's a sad thing to say, but that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I think the first question you ask is, will Asan Sumono have been beaten? I think my answer would have been no.
Exactly.
That would not have happened.
Even Oshomole.
No, that would not have happened. I think one of the challenges.
Yes, to speak of, yes.
One of the challenges is that there is a political angle to it, which of course I think, if I was in his shoes as president of TUC, what I would have done strictly would have been, there was no way I would have directly gotten myself involved in it because it's my state. And yes. Whatever you do, people are going to misconstrue it. And the political undertone would have been made about it. What I would have done would have been to just go ahead and send my vice president or the deputy president or send lower ranking officers to go there and do it.
But you also have state officials,
yes,
of NLC.
Yes.
Couldn't it have been handled at state level?
Yes, the challenge there that I also see, because when you have something like that happening to the president of Nigerian Labour Congress, the local chapter is supposed to raise hell.
Yes.
You know, so when the local chapter did not raise any hell about what has just transpired, then you will know that there's already a division in that local chapter. And once you have that division, what I would have expected the president to have done is to have avoided the state at that particular time. But let us not also forget that nobody has a right to lay his or her hand on somebody else.
Or anybody else.
Yes, so that in itself is wrong. And then you also have the police. And if what I saw of the Nigerian Labour Congress president, his swollen eyes, he was virtually pummeled. And if the police is not saying that they kept him away to protect him, and if his face is to go by, then nobody needs protection, if that is the best the police can do. But what is driving all of this, I think it has to do with the culture and the philosophy of the leader. So,
of the leader,
yes.
Which leader now?
Which leader now? The NSC, Ajero, yeah. as yes. a person. So, and you're worried about the Nigerian Labour Congress. I think the institutions will cover itself. They will recover. I'm not worried about the NSC is bigger than Joe Ajero. Yes, he's the president. So over a period of time, institutions have a way of correcting itself.
I'll ask a blunt question. Do you think he has what it takes to be leader of the NLC?
He has been elected. So once
I know he's been elected. Do you think he has what it takes? That's what I'm saying.
I don't think so.
I don't think he has shown the prerequisite leadership. For example, we've had too many strikes, too many. You understand what I'm saying?
We
have threats of strike at the slightest whatever strike. At a time when, for example, when this issue of the 160 million naira cash came in, one would have expected that at a time when you haven't even concluded your negotiations with government on minimum wage and things like that, to have moved into the National Assembly and led a protest. The NSC was nowhere to be found.
Yes. I think if you look at it, Ajero is coming from being a president of NUI. It takes a while. I'm also looking at that. He may have to learn on the job because it takes a while. Yes, because it takes a while for you to know that when you are a president of a federation, I was president of Pengasan. And then I moved on to become president of TUC.
Yes.
It takes a while. Probably he needs some adjustment now that he has to know that there's a difference between president of NUI and president
of Nigeria. Does he have such capabilities? You see, let me be honest with you. When it comes to things like this, when it comes to things like this, I think if there's a hard knuckle to be hit, we need to hit it, because all of us will pay for it. Yeah. As it is now, all of us have been bound to the Philistines. Yeah. You know? And there are serious issues. Over the weekend, I got wind that the reason why it didn't occur to me, so that people don't think I'm putting my nose in the air, is because I have a health insurance policy. Okay? But over the weekend, I now got wind that so many people cannot, they don't have the means of buying their medications.
Yes.
It's gone completely haywire.
Yes.
I mean, these are things that, okay, so we don't have an opposition, really, politically. We can't go to court. I mean, that's out of it. It's the NLC, or the CSOs are gone.
Yes.
So it's the NLC that you would look forward to that would highlight all these things. But to have found the time, the means and the time in these current times to go want to be a local champion in his home state, you know, and drag the whole federal into it, I think is very unfortunate. You find that, okay, so we've elected somebody and he's not doing what is expected of him, are you saying we cannot remove him?
To remove a president in labor movement is like...
As difficult as removing the president of the country. Nigeria,
yes. So the other aspect is that within the institution, you're also going to get people also now complaining. That's why I said the institution will correct itself. Mm. It's only going to be a matter of time that they are also going to have forces within the Nigerian Labour Congress who will come up and say, okay, we've had enough of this, and this is the direction you have to go. There used to be a time where protest, when Oshomole was also president. I got to a level whereby National Executive Council just said, no, we are not having any more protests. So what was now happening was having zonal or regional protests. So there was no longer going to be strike. You know, so this, it will also correct itself. But my challenge here, the challenge that I would say that the NSC or the organized labor have not taken advantage of, and which, of course, they are losing the goodwill. The goodwill that they are losing, because as NSC TUC, they need the goodwill of the Nigerian people to take on the government. If I was in their shoes, I won't go on strike over what happened in Owerri.
Honestly.
You would mobilize the local chapter to go after that. You also mobilize for the election. Once the election was held and you lost, then you go back, strategize, and wait. Because there are more battles ahead. First, you have the issue of government intervention over the subsidy. Nothing has happened. You have the refineries that is supposed to come on stream. They told us it will come on stream in December. The president said it in his broadcast. And I don't think that is feasible with what is on ground right now. And then you now have medical challenges. If somebody is on Ventolin.
Exactly.
If you are on Ventolin right now, you are going to pay over 200% increase.
Yes.
Even as low as various antibiotics, you are paying over 100%.
Hypertensive drugs, yes.
So there are a lot of challenges that are coming that I expect the NLC to also look at. It's not in an adversarial way. I don't think labor and government should see each other as adversarial. No. They are supposed to be a partnership in the Nigerian project.
Why we don't like partnerships with governments? Because compromise would then come in.
Yeah, you see the
difference. We can't run away from that.
Yes.
I had said on this station that if you ask me on the quiet, I believe that government is cap in hand with all these various strike threats. I believe they are holding, what they're trying to do is to use the NSC to hold the people. Okay, nobody wants what happened in NSAS to happen anymore. So let the NSC fill in the gap, because they've been completely lackluster. It's called almost about 4 or 5 national strikes. Nothing has happened.
And that is also in itself very dangerous. If government is playing that,
yes.
Government itself is working a very dangerous
way. I said that last week.
I'll give an example. When we led that protest, that strike, subsidy strike, that now led to Occupy Nigeria and what you have. And then after that strike, what a lot of people don't know, I had some people come in and to say, oh, we went on strike over subsidy during Jonathan, and then why is Labour not doing the same thing under Buhari or doing the same thing under Bola Tinubu? And I had to educate some of them that we were in the oil sector. We told the president, go ahead, if you want to do it in June. The president went ahead to do it in January, because the fifth columnist within the Jonathan administration felt that, oh, budget for budgetary purposes, let's just do it in January. And we had said the timing is wrong. people are coming out of Christmas, everybody's broke, and then emotional. You all know what Christmas and New Year, what Christmas and New Year means. Mm. It's emotionally draining, and it drains your pocket. So, and then they went ahead and do it. And I told the president, this timing is very wrong. And then the president had to pay a price for it. And when we finished that strike, what happened? They went to the Senate. They sent a law to the Senate to water down, to the National Assembly, to water down the organized labor. And I had a meeting with the president. I said, President, do you know what you want to create right now? What you are trying to create now is that, do you want an opposition that has an address?
Yes.
Or an opposition that has no address? I said, Mr. President, I leave that to you. And the president had told me, said, no, he has no hand in what is before the National Assembly. But the senator bringing that bill to the National Assembly is from the president's senatorial district.
Yes.
So by the time we finish, I just left it at that. Mm. 3 weeks later, they withdrew the bill from the National Assembly. So why use the word that we it's not being adversarial. Negotiation, you mostly make it personal. What has happened now was, Ajero made it personal.
Yeah. Oh,
so when
very,
you yes,
very much so.
Yes. When you want to negotiate, you don't make it personal. You bring your facts that even sometimes you and I disagree, but there is something we have mutual respect.
Yes.
Yes. Sometimes you get angry with me and you say you dislabor people, but you still respect my views.
Yes.
Yes. So even if you negotiate, you must your enemy in quote must have respect that when you are coming to the table, you are bringing value. So that is key. So if they're in the process of doing all of this, and Nigerians, because of the way we have also positioned people, not everybody becomes president. President, as far as I'm concerned, you are a waste being, kind of an incinerator. Everybody throws everything at you.
That's
but
it.
It's your responsibility to turn it to a manure to grow something.
9:23, we're going to take a break at 9:25. Am I right? And when we come back, we're going to open up our lines 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. And we hope the rules will apply. I think we can sneak in one call now if the person, male or female, will stick to the principles that we set out. Hello, good morning. We don't have a caller yet. Okay, so the lines are open and peaceful. Don't hesitate to call in. I'm not saying nobody should call. Okay, we have a call there. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, quickly, we just have just a minute. Okay, let's cut that off. Please, when you call, try and call from a quiet background, and also don't use speakerphone. Put the phone to your mouth. We can't take this.
Hello, good morning.
Okay, very quickly, yes.
Uncle Jimmy, this is Pastor Larry.
Yes, go on, quickly.
I want to ask Peter Sele, your guest.
Yes.
What is the role of the courts? The court injunctions that the government is also using against labor.
Very
because
good.
We are not talking about Ajero. What about the court injunctions
Okay.
that have been using? Thank you.
Okay, we'll take a short break now. And when we come back, Peter Sele will answer your question.
Your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
Let's talk.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
This is Daily Digest with Jimmy Dissi.
Yeah, you're welcome back to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Dissel, and I have Peter Sele, former president of the TUC. His Excellency, former president of the TUC. Now, one of the things that attracted me to you is not as if I know you from, but what you brought to the table as TUC president, the intellect and so on. And you would almost be able to say the same thing with Adams or Shomole, you know, the intellect and whatever, even if you don't like him. He can be a bit bigger, but at least he brought a lot of this. What is the background of this gentleman?
Ajero happens to have been, he used to be a reporter in Vanguard newspaper. Then yes. He now became one of the secretaries in Electricity Union. That's the junior arm of Electricity Workers.
How did he go from media to Electricity Union?
Yes.
Oh, he was a secretary of the union.
Yes. So
he was an employee.
He was an employee of the union.
Of the union.
Yes. So the union now employed him first. They were
don't you think that the NLC, with the responsibilities that they have, should have a more better grounded, I'm not to run, I'm just talking of that position. Because apparently we can see a capacity problem here. We can't run away from it. I know you're trying to be polite, but sometimes you try to be polite to one man, you're endangering millions of people.
Another thing you also have to look at is an election. That's one of the things about democracy. Democracy doesn't throw up the best candidates.
You don't look at what we have here.
It's an election. Democracy
it's
doesn't...
It's quite obvious. Yes.
And
isn't that a reflection on us as a people?
Thank you very much. That whatever it is that we are seeing in our country right now, it's a reflection of who we are. Most times we all think that Ajero is the problem, Tinubu is the problem, Buhari was the problem, Jonathan was the problem.
No, it is our
consciousness. We are the problem.
I mean,
can you accept?
You need to see some reactions here on YouTube and see the way people.
Jimmy, let me give you an example. I was driving on Ajose Adiogun.
Yes.
I learned how to drive.
Yes.
So I got to a zebra. Somebody was standing opposite the zebra. You don't need to wait for the person to stand on the zebra.
Zebra,
so I stopped my car. And motioned to the person to pass. And then somebody drove beside me and started insulting me.
I don't understand.
At that particular time, I don't give you the right to control me. Because if I react, the person is not in charge of the situation. So I'm trained not to do that. So I just listened to the person and I said, excuse me, it's a zebra. You're supposed to allow somebody to cross. The person doesn't need to put his feet on it. And then walked to the next traffic. He now pulled by my side and started apologizing that he's sorry. But in the first place...
It is.
Yes. But in the first place, are you... Even when you see somebody... Forget the zebra. Are you not supposed to stop and allow somebody to...
I mean,
pass?
You know that close to 70% of drivers, especially in Lagos...
And as little as that, that is a reflection of who we are. And then I was talking to a friend, and the friend told me how he has left the country now. After that experience, he just moved his family out of the country. That same Ajose Adiogun, he was on a zebra, and he was knocked down by a vehicle. And he could not believe how, he said he couldn't believe how he survived it. So what we don't know is that these little things that we do, these little infractions everywhere, now aggregate itself to produce who will be our leader. So a leader is a reflection of the people. It's not coming from Venus.
So is Ajero a reflection of the Labour Congress?
Yes. Ajero is a reflection of the Nigerian Labour Congress. And I want to tell you that straight. When I was TUC president too, I was also a reflection of the TUC. I will tell you at the time, when we were talking at the time in Pengasin, somebody went ahead and we have a financial guideline. The person exceeded the financial guideline by 100,000 naira. He was not even given a query. The Central Working Committee held a meeting and told the person, we pick him up from the academia. He has a PhD. He was our general secretary. And they said, please, you have to resign. He didn't stay the money. They said, you have to resign. And then the guy resigned. Now, many down the road, about 6, 7, 8 years later, we also now heard that there's a union where somebody went, took a loan of 300 million without the approval of the National Executive Council. I'm just giving an example. Without the approval of the National Executive Council. And then we now ask ourselves, how did that happen? But again, it doesn't mean the person is trying to steal, but it also means that what are you ready to accommodate? At a particular time, the consciousness of the people reflects what happened. If you accept somebody comes into your house and break into your house and you don't say a thing, the person may come and sell your house while you are living in it.
Oh, okay, so now, back to again this Ajero specifics.
Yeah.
From the feel you get from your labor world, are your people comfortable with where things are going?
You see, one of the things that I will find out from all the conversation, not many are comfortable, but again, you take a critical mass for a change of direction. But the critical mass is also going to come. Ajero also need to look at this. I'm not going to... critique him as much as you may take it, But I see everything as a learning point. It will also learn from it and also decide that
we can't afford leaders who learn on the job. That's why we're where we are.
You see, the bottom line again is that lessons need to be learned.
Yes.
Now, somebody asked a question. He said, injunction. What are the roles of injunction?
Oh, yeah, we even forgot that. Sorry, yes.
This is one of the dangerous routes this country is going. Nigeria is the only country whereby somebody goes to court and take an injunction that the police should not investigate him, even if he commits a criminal act.
Mm-hmm.
And what is an injunction? Is to restrain you from doing what you are supposed to do. A worker has a right to withdraw his service. You can't come and restrain me from withdrawing my service. I'm not happy and I'm withdrawing my service. And then when they were served, the first thing we had an informal conversation and I said, we try as much as possible in the labor movement to respect the law.
Yes.
Today, it may not be in your favor. Tomorrow, it can be in your favor. As an institution, we are made to think that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so my first question to them was that both the TUC president especially said they have not been served. So they went to the press and said there's an injunction. But if I don't receive your injunction,
what's the point?
It's not Jimmy Disu to announce on radio that there's an injunction. No.
Use his own name.
So,
because do you agree that if a weak NLC leadership creates a big gap, and a big gap in terms of opposition, you know, who can drive public opinion, you know, again, because whether we like it or not, the political class, from my own definition now, are completely insensitive.
Yeah.
You agree?
Yes, I agree.
Completely. In fact, it's unimaginable that you would have.
I completely
look
agree
at
with
what
you.
Happened in Malawi, my brother, last week or so. The president banned all foreign travels, including himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have that kind of money. But the opposite is what we get. We want to buy yachts, we want to buy cars for Madame. We want to buy SUVs for... So we do need a strong... So I'm going to appeal to you to see if you can, on behalf of our own listeners here, or majority of them, because some won't agree, help us tidy up the NLC.
I think another thing they can also do is that the Nigerian Labour Congress has a research... even TUC, they have research department.
Yes.
So what I expect them to do is to... They're also helping the government. People don't know
oh,
this.
Oh, they are,
yes. You're and helping the government.
But you see, sometimes in helping the government, the dangerous part of it is that compromise begins to show its head.
No.
Do you think, now that you brought that up, do you think this gentleman could have been sponsored, knowing after profiling him, that this would be a good one for us as NLC president?
I think...
It's a possibility. Do you agree?
Government likes to get involved in...
Oh, government, yes. They get involved.
But the difference here now is that, don't forget that Ajero had contested previously and lost.
Yes.
Then he now left with his group. They found another labor federation. But he came back. He's popular among the rank and file from what happened in Nui. So that was why he was elected. So, but be that as it may, why I said that when you become a president of NSC or TUC, for example... You need boots on the ground, which is the streets.
Yes.
You need the goodwill of the people.
Yes.
And then you also need network. A very smart network. Because the bottom line is, you can do the protest on the street, but you must also have the back channel to negotiate and make things happen. It is the back channel where most things happen. Yes.
And fail.
Yes. So the back channel is also very, very important.
Let me ask you, when you were president of the TUC, when you were going to run for election, did any government person approach you?
No. Now, the difference was that, let me tell you about my successor.
Yes.
But when it came to me, because, let me tell you, when it came to me, because I was coming from Pengasan, and the way I emerged, I was not in the radar.
Pengasan is mainly private sector people.
Yes.
I see. So yes. that's okay.
Yes. So yeah. I was coming from Pengasin and I was not in the radar. Now, but when I was going to handover, we noticed that government has also picked his own candidate and we got a wind of that. And then we just went ahead and threatened and told government that we are going to do, we also not threatening government, that if they don't back off, that we'll go public with what they are doing. And then at the end of the day, they backed off and we had the right person emerged. But the challenge here is not who emerges. Government can get involved. Take, for example, the NSC and TUC. The first thing for government is that we are never going to work together. But when I became president, NSC and TUC became partners. We became partners. But before my time, they were always at loggerheads. So there's always a difference. I'm not worried about labor. You're going to have private. There are times you have Ajero ordinarily. Should have been coming from the private sector. But we always have this private and public. Like the current president of TUC now is also coming from Pengasan. Mm. So his own orientation will also differ. And what I always emphasize in the labor movement right now is training. Use modern tools. We can't act right now as if you were in a military government. It's more dangerous for an NSC president and TUC president to operate in a civilian dispensation,
of course,
than in a military dispensation.
Of course, yes.
Because in a military dispensation, you know who the enemy is. In a civilian dispensation, everybody can sit down, we are discussing, and meanwhile, everybody belongs to different parties.
Guess what? That's the problem we have right now.
Yeah.
Only God will save us. The things that they do in the name of the king, back in the day, they say in the name of the king, the things that are done in the name of the king are unimaginable, that even when the king hears some of them, he's completely startled.
Jimmy, this thing you just said, I'll give you a story. Obasanjo hate him or love him, as at the moment is somebody I'll describe as the one-eyed king.
Oh, yes.
He's still our best president ever. Now, something happened. Let me just give an analogy based on what you just said. About 2 a.m., my phone rang. And then who was on the other side was the president of Nigeria. And I saw somebody's
2 a.m.
Yes, I saw somebody's name, because normally I don't put my phone to ring. Somebody had informed me that, please, we are aware, DSS, that we are aware your phone is always silent. Please, can you allow it to ring? Somebody is going to call you. So I allowed the phone to ring. So at about 2 a.m., it was Andy Uba. My phone rang, Andy Uba. So Andy, I picked it up. Okay, Andy. And then he said, hold on for CNC. And it was OBJ on the phone. And OBJ went on, first of all, lashed at me that I'm hearing you want to go on strike. We're going to have a nationwide strike. But I now told them, I said, this thing is affecting the NPC. So let's localize it to Abuja and cut off fuel supply to Abuja. So Obasanjo finished talking.
He lambasted me.
Asujo. After lambasting me, I didn't say anything. Then the following morning, he said he's going to Owerri. He called again the following morning. He's an handsome president.
Oh, yes.
So he called again the following morning and he said he's going to Owerri. When he comes back from Owerri, we need to have a conversation. So by the time he was coming back from Owerri, and he found out that there were queues on the streets. And then later in the night, he now called back. What is the problem? I said, sir, negotiation between NPC management has been concluded. And you being the minister for petroleum, you need to sign. And the document is with you. He said, no, I've never seen that document.
Mm-hmm.
So is that the problem? I said, yes, it's just for you to sign. He said, it has been negotiated. I said, yes. When? I told him, all these many months? I said, yes, Mr. President. He said, no, I never saw it. Andy, go and look for the document tomorrow and bring it to my table.
Straight.
By the following morning, Obasanjo signed off on that document. And then everything was back to normalcy. Now, just go back to say certain things that are done in the name of the king.
Yes. Okay. We need to take one or two calls here. Hello, good morning. Hello. Hello. Hello, morning. Hello. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Isele.
Good morning.
Jonathan is my name. Please, Mr. Isele, I want you to correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Before the review of prices of PMS, FG is mandated to call the union. Am I right or wrong?
Mandated is not legal, is not in the law, but
okay, they are supposed to call the union. Yes. Very good, because I know that very well.
Yes.
Now, please, can you explain to me what happened in this instance? And why is it that Union, NLC, and TUC, they are aware of these rules. Why will they still allow it to stand up to now that they even call the union to the table and somebody somewhere just stand up from 184 naira now to 630 naira in Lagos. Outside Lagos is something else. Please, can you explain what is happening to me, please?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Morning. Yeah.
Now, first thing is, this negotiation we are looking at has been going on since 2022. So you find out that it's also on the side. If you ask me, I'll be very blunt on this. It's on the side, the fault is majorly Labour's, because from Buhari's time, they were having a negotiation that was spanning over 1 year. I got to know of this because we got a briefing of past president from the TUC president, who told us that there's been a series of meetings, and suddenly they also called off those meetings. So the first thing was, the Buhari administration was supposed to do an increase, and in doing that increase, it will now put in place a measures that will ameliorate whatever hardship that Nigerians will face. But what he did was to now kick the can down the road. So he kicked the can down the road, and then he now told us that they've already made a budgetary provision that subsidy will go by June. Now, the truth of the matter was that he made a budgetary provision that is not cash-backed. So there was no cash. So when this administration came up, and they were already aware of this information, they just had to go ahead and do it.
Okay, we'll invite you. Let's pick that call. I think it's from outside Nigeria. We'll invite you back one of these days to give us a better briefing on this fuel subsidy thing. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Yes, how are you? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Saudi Arabia.
Saudi, oh. How are you? Go on, please.
I would like a question for Mr. Sele, please.
Yes.
Regarding all what the NLC has done.
Yes.
At least we've had about 5 strikes now. What does it think the mind of Nigerian masses towards NLC?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
I cannot talk for Nigerian masses because I've not done an opinion poll. But one thing is clear is that when a strike is like using what we call a nuclear bomb. So when you go on a strike, you have to also do what I call KPIs, key performance indicators. What are your expectations? What are your goals? What do you intend to achieve from the strike? So, but when you have too many strikes, you start losing goodwill and people get tired of it and say again. Completely. And when you have these strikes and there are no enough results to show to the people that, okay, this strike is effective. When next you call for the strike, people will just feel...
Which happened in this last one.
Yes, they'll just feel that's what they do. And that is not an image for NSC and TUC to have.
But then it also, like both of us agree, it also then creates a greater problem of a vacuum in leadership. And I was of the same view that you were, and I think I mentioned it here, that if the government is clapping its hands and thinks that it has achieved whatever, then it's a very, 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 very dangerous. You know, one of the problems with the NSAS movement was that there was nobody to talk to.
No.
Nobody.
No.
And, you know, they say that lightning doesn't strike in the same place, but it can strike near the same place as... I think it's important that we all get sensitized to the fact that... And this is not a political thing.
Yeah.
This cannot... It's not going to be pushed over by some people in Twitter saying this and that. A lot of Nigerians are disenchanted.
Yeah.
Because it's going to the court. And we've just begun. By the end of December, only God knows where we will all be. If it has gotten to a point where now to even get your hypertensive drugs, I'm going to have to bring a doctor in here anytime from now to see if we can, I will see if my friend Dr. Eni is back from vacation, to look at the implications of all this. We're in a very, very dangerous position. Yeah. I wish we had a mechanism by counting the number of bodies we are burying, you know, a number of deaths that we have. But it's 9:53. I think we got to go.
How time flies.
It's been nice having you.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to Mr. Peter. I could speak to him for a whole day. As long as we have Pami and the bit of Suya together, I can speak to him. But so, what do you do in your retirement? Are you retired? Yeah, too young to be retired now.
I don't understand why you'd be asking. Jimmy, you are not retired. Why should I be retired?
I'm retired, though. I'm doing this work as a pension. I'm doing this work as a pension. Okay, so we'll be back again tomorrow, God willing. Tomorrow will be there for me. And on Thursday, I'm going to be briefing you on some of the new things that I will be doing. Because like he said, even though he says I'm not retired, I think I've pushed it a bit too far. In another year, I'll be 70, a year and a half, and that is having pushed it a bit too far.
And you are not looking it.
Well, don't forget about the loose. I'm like a beat-up vehicle that has been well spread. So we'll be talking about that. So we'll see you all tomorrow, God willing. I'll see you 7:30 and later at 9 for the Abumi. See you then. Thank you very much, Peter Isella.
Thank you for having me.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk. 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.